WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 8th of January, 2020. It's been a while since I've been on the air with the grand hour here. My name is Arthur. This morning, I think I'm going to go with how I kind of started my show a couple years ago at the earlier time slot of 6 to 7. I played a lot of Orson Welles' Shadow, The Shadow, no affiliation with his Mercury Theater players there. This particular episode is the number 4 in their summer program. The show was picked up after its first season for a summer program. I've played this before at the previous time slot, as it was one of my favorites. It's titled The Blind Beggar Dies. And this had an original air date of the 26th of June, 1938. I don't believe Agnes Moorehead plays Margot Lane in the summer program. I might look into that while it's airing here. And thanks for listening.
The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The identity of the Shadow is known only to his intimate friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Blind Beggar Dies.
There are smiles that make us happy. There are smiles...
Evening, Singing Jim. Oh. Chilly tonight, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Thank you, sir. There are smiles...
Hello, Jim. Wish me luck tonight. I'm going out with a new boyfriend. He's awful nice.
All the luck in the world, you miss. Thank you. There are smiles which make us happy.
Well, if it isn't Singing Jim holding down the same corner after we told him to pay protection or move.
Yeah, he don't pay off and he don't scare.
I don't make enough to keep body and soul together. Now you go away. Let me alone.
Well, so you're going to try to buck our record, eh? All right, buddy, bring him back in the alley.
Now, wait.
Here we make him see things
out. Now, take your hands off me. You let me alone.
Come on,
let
don't.
Me alone.
We just want to talk to you a minute. We got a proposition for
yeah,
you.
No, but now I told you, I don't need protection. I have a license because I'm blind. The police don't bother me, hon.
Bring him back over here, Marty.
No.
Private enough.
Now,
okay, Spike.
Now, wait.
Easy on that blackjack.
Get up and hold your mitt over his mouth so we don't let
now,
him.
Now, don't.
Before. Okay.
I'm an old man. I can't stand it. I haven't any money to pay you. I tell you, I'll...
All right, give me once over.
Right. Mm. Now, listen, Singing Jim. Next time you fork over a buck a week or you'll get the worst. Okay. Marty, dump him over the wall there and let's go.
Look at that crowd gathering, Lamont.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how any little thing can get a crowd together?
Sometimes those little things turn out to be big things, Margot.
That's just Lamont Cranston, the amateur criminologist, coming to the fore.
Oh, look. They're trying to get into that alleyway. Somebody hurt, probably.
Oh, yes.
All right, move on.
Oh, good evening to you, Mr. Cranston.
What's wrong, Clancy?
Poor old Singing Jim. Somebody found him in the alley all smashed up. Looks like a truck run over him. All right, out of the way. Move on now. Move on.
Poor old Jim. Lamont, look at his face and head. He doesn't look like he's been run over.
Oh, don't hit me. I can't pay. I can't.
Open, Jack. Back to the hospital and make it fast.
Oh.
This old boy's in a bad way.
Lamont, somebody beat him up. But who'd do a thing like that and why?
I don't know, Margot. I've known Singing Jim for years.
So have I. Everybody knows him and helped him out.
Margot, he looked pretty bad. I'll go to the hospital and see what I can do for him. Well, this meets the eye. Want to come along?
Yes, Lamont. I hope we're not too late.
Of course you can see Singing Jim, Mr. Cranston.
How is he, Doctor?
Triple concussion. Looks pretty hopeless.
Poor old Jim.
How did it happen?
Well, the police report lists it as a hit-and-run case. In my opinion, he was beaten with some blunt instrument. It's a pipe or a blackjack.
Hmm.
He's right in here.
No, no. Don't hit me. I'm an old man. No.
I'm afraid you won't get much out of him, but you can try. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Thanks, Doctor.
Oh, I can't pay. I need protection.
Not Singing Jim.
I don't...
Jim, it's Lamont Cranston. I've come to help you. And Miss Lane is here, too. You remember her.
Hello, Jim. What happened? Who did this
to you? Keep away from me. Let me go. Don't hit me again.
I'm afraid he's delirious, Margot. Jim, listen. We're not going to hurt you. You're safe now. Who hit you? Why did they do it, Jim?
They told me I had to pay $1 a week. Or they'd give my corner to somebody else. Some phony that knew how to mooch enough to pay him for protection. No.
Jim.
Don't hit me.
Lamont, that can't be true. Nobody could be as low as to try to make a racket out of begging, organize them, and make them pay tribute.
It's hard to believe, Margot, but there must be something to it. Wait a minute. Jim, listen to me. Who did this? Who's been trying to make you pay money to them?
Oh, no, don't hit me, Spike. Let go of me, Mike. Don't, I can't pay. Apple Mary can't pay either. You took Apple Mary's stand, now you're trying to take mine. Don't hit me again. Don't!
Margo, I'd better get the doctor. He's unconscious.
Yes, Margot, but I'm afraid it's more than that.
What?
Afraid Singing Jim has sung his last ballad.
What? You mean...
Yes, Margot. Singing Jim is dead.
Folks, I guess you're all kind of wondering why the word went out over the beggar's grapevine for us to meet here in my place.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
And maybe you ain't. Anyway, Apple Mary's got something to say to us.
Thanks, Lame Bill. Thanks. Folks, I guess by this time you've all heard that poor old Singing Jim's dead.
Yeah.
And I guess you know why he's dead.
Yes, there you are.
Now, don't get the idea that I've asked you all here to fight these here scurvy rats that pull Jim into an alley and beat him to death. I ain't asking that.
Can't expect no help from the police, Mary. You know that.
No, you can't, Mary.
Yes, we tried that. And they just laugh at the idea of anybody trying to make us pay for the right to make a living on the streets. The only way we know how. Selling apples like I do. Singing like Jim did. Or selling pencils and shoelaces like Lame Bill here. No, we can't expect no help from the police.
Yeah, but why don't they get the guys that murdered old Jim?
They're investigating it, so they say.
Yeah, but what are we going to do, Mary? Jim's death was just a warning to the rest of us. It means pay up or get the same...
No, it don't.
Yeah, that's
no,
what
it
means,
don't.
Mary.
Because something's happened. Somebody's going to help us what can't help ourselves.
Well, who is it, Mary?
Now, before I tell you, I want to remind you that I'm not a drinking woman. And I ain't given to hearing things. And I ain't easy convinced. But last night, late, somebody talked to me at my stand. Somebody that you've all heard of. Somebody that you that have got your eyesight don't believe in because nobody's ever seen.
Who was it, Mary?
The Shadow.
Shadow? Oh, he wouldn't bother trying to help folks like us, Mary.
Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong because he asked me to call all your folks together. He promised that he'd come here tonight and tell us how he can help us.
When's he coming? Why isn't he here?
Hey, what's that? Huh?
I am here.
Why? Where'd that laugh come from?
Looks like it come from right behind Mary.
No, it came from back in that corner.
Wait, don't be frightened. I am the Shadow. I've come here to help you. If you will accept my unseen presence without question, without fear.
Yeah, that's right. We got no reason to be scared of the shadow. We ain't done anything wrong.
Yeah, we ought to be glad he's willing to help us out, protect us from fellas like Spike and Marty.
Maybe he can help us find out who those fellas are.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute, all of you. I've told the Shadow all I know about Spike and Marty, all any of us knows. Now you listen to what he wants us to do.
You are victims of the meanest racket in the world. The Shadow will help you if you are willing to help yourselves. I have reason to believe that one among you is a spy, an informer.
Why, where is he? Point him out.
No, sooner or later he will betray himself. There are too many of you for me to single out the one hostile mind in this room.
What do you want us to do, Shadow?
We'll do anything you say.
Go on doing as you have been doing. When these men approach you again, pay them, or promise payment. And then go to the west wall of the National Armory. Make your sign of distress in white chalk, using the symbols you use in communicating with one another. The Shadow will understand them and come to your aid. As for the informer in your midst, let him take this warning to the petty racketeers he serves. If one more cent of tribute is levied, if they so much as lay a hand upon one of you, they will answer to the Shadow with their lives.
Yeah, who's there? That you, Marty?
Yeah, it's me, Spike.
What took you so long? Say, you look like the real McCoy with those smoke glasses and that crutch.
I used to make a living faking this blind and lame gag before you showed me how to make some easy money.
Well, what happened at that meeting at Lame Bill's place?
Plenty.
You look like you've seen a ghost.
No, I ain't seen no ghost, Spike.
What then?
I heard something tonight that I don't want to hear again. The voice of a guy you couldn't see. He was right there talking to us.
You've been hearing things.
No, it's the truth, I tell you. You've heard about this guy they call a Shadow, haven't you?
Yeah, I've heard about him all right. So what?
He was at that meeting. That's why Apple Mary called it. The Shadow got the whole story out of her. How he worked this racket, and now he's out to get us.
How's he gonna do it?
Got it all fixed for the beggars to put their distress signs on the wall of the National Armory. The first time we try to collect any more dough.
You say the Shadow got all the dough from Apple Mary?
Yeah, I tell you, we gotta lay off.
And kiss all that money we get from the beggars goodbye? Not on your life.
Yeah, but Spike, the Shadow's poison. He's caught plenty of big shots with dough and their gangs. What chance have we got against a guy like that?
Listen, punk, you're all the gang I got, and I ain't in the big dough, but I'm plenty smart. And I got an idea how to get rid of this Shadow.
All right. How you gonna do it?
Listen, all we gotta do is get a hold of Apple Mary. Bring her up here to the hideout and keep her here.
Yeah, and get the Shadow plumbing our trail.
That's just what I want. And to be sure he does get here, you're gonna chalk up a message on the armory wall. You know the signs I use.
Yeah, I know them. But supposing you do get Apple Mary here and this Shadow comes after it, then what?
Then he's gonna walk into the sweetest little trap you ever saw sprung.
But you can't see the guy.
I don't have to see him. All I have to do is hear him talk or laugh, the way they say he always does.
All right, Spike, okay. I hope you know what you're doing.
I haven't given you a bad stare yet, have I? We'll grab Apple Mary tonight and bring her down here.
Want to drive past the National Armory, Lamont?
I'm looking for handwriting on the wall, Margot.
What do you mean?
The Shadow made arrangements with Apple Mary and her friends to communicate with them. That way, those racketeers try any more strong-arm tactics.
You think they will?
Yes. There's a reckless bravado about a petty criminal that you won't find in big-time crooks.
And they're just as dangerous. Don't forget that, Lamont.
I'm not forgetting it for a minute, Margot. There's a saying, little snakes are more deadly than the big ones. Stop the car, Margo. Here's the armory.
What is it, Lamont?
There's writing on the wall. Maybe what I'm looking for.
You mean those chalk marks, those crosses and circles and numbers?
Yes. Yes, it's a message from Apple Mary. She needs help. She's waiting for the Shadow in the basement of 19 River Street.
I'll drive you there, Lamont.
All right, Margo. Not all the way. Stop a block from that address and let me out.
Very well, Lamont. Shall I wait for you?
Yes, Margo. Wait half an hour. If I'm not back by then, notify the police to raid that house.
But why, Lamont? What made you think...
I don't think Apple Mary sent that message, Margo. I have a feeling the Shadow's being invited to walk into a trap.
you, Marty?
Yeah, it's me. Where are you? How about some light?
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Hey, what's the idea of sitting down here in the dark? Hey, what are you doing with that Tommy gun?
When the Shadow comes here looking for Apple Mary, I'm going to spray this room with lead from floor to ceiling. It won't matter if I can't see him. I can't miss. And our troubles will be over.
I put that message in the armory wall.
How long ago?
About an hour.
Then he'll be here soon. That guy moves fast from what I hear.
Hey, how are you going to know when the Shadow gets here? What if he don't talk or laugh?
He's got to open that door, ain't he? He can't walk through it. He ain't a ghost.
He comes as close to being a ghost as anything I ever went on up against. How's he do it? How's he keep you from seeing him?
By hypnotism, whatever that is.
Yeah? I know a guy in a circus that could do that. Leastwise, he claimed he could.
Shut up. Go and get Apple Mary in here. She's in that back room.
Okay. Hey, you. Apple Mary. Come on out here.
I'm coming. I don't think I'm scared of the scum of the earth like you two.
Pipe down.
What do you want with me?
Bring him over here and shove her into this chair.
You hide him. Come on.
Take your hands off me. Maybe old and blind, but I take no guidance from scavengers.
Take that can away from her. She might get free with it.
Give me that stick.
I'll give it to you. Here, take it.
Why, you cheap devil.
Put her in that chair and hold her there. Get your knife.
Come on, sit down there. Yeah, I got my knife.
Get it out. She tries anything when the Shadow turns up. Let her have it. Right between her shoulders.
Okay. If you know what's good for you, you'll sit still, Mary.
The Shadow. So you know he's after you. So there was a squealer at the meeting.
That was no squealer. It was me. And we're expecting your pal, the Shadow, most any time now. I put a little message from you on the armory wall, telling him to come here.
Yeah. Just wait till that door swings open. That's the only way you can get in or out.
If this Shadow guy's got a gun, starts blazing away, you'll get yours, Mary.
The Shadow doesn't need a gun.
Shut him up, Marty. I just heard the basement door close.
Hey, somebody's in the hall spike.
Shut up. Watch it, old dame. She opens her mouth, but I have it.
Right. Got that Tommy gun ready?
Yeah.
Spike, he's here. The Shadow's here. Do something. Do something. Shoot her. He'll kill it.
I ain't sure. If I can be sure.
There is only one certainty in life.
What?
That is death.
It's him. Do something. Spike, you shut out the light.
Yeah. But I got him.
Yeah.
I got the Shadow. Come on. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, but what about Apple Mary?
We haven't got time to fuss with a blind dame. Now listen, Apple Mary. Get out and tell your friends we'll be seeing him. Tell him the Shadow's dead. Tell him if we have any more trouble making collections, I'll get what Singing Jim and the Shadow got. Tell him that for us. Come on, Marty, let's go.
Shadow dead. Who can we look to for help now?
You can still count on the Shadow, Apple Mary.
Oh, Shadow, they didn't kill you. Didn't they hit you?
No, Mary. I suspected a trap, so after I opened the door, I walked across the room and stood behind them.
But your voice, it came from near the door.
Ventriloquism. A simple trick of projecting a voice. That doesn't matter now. Get out of here and hurry to Lame Bill's. Gather your friends together and wait there for word from me. The Shadow.
Margot.
Oh, there you are, Lamont. I was beginning to get worried. Half hour's almost up. What happened?
I'll tell you later. Quick, start the car. Those two men hurrying down the street?
That tall one and the short, heavy one?
Yes, follow them, but be careful. Don't get too close.
Who are they? Where are they going?
They murdered Singing Jim. They tried to murder the Shadow. We'll find out where they go, Margot, and then I'll telephone Commissioner Weston to surround the place.
The Shadow left word with Apple Mary. She wants us at Dugan's pool hall.
Dugan's pool hall. The Shadow's tracked down Spike and Marty.
Apple Mary and Lame Bill want us at Dugan's pool hall. Hey, Limpy, Dugan's pool hall right away. Mary said so.
What's the matter with you, Marty? They thought you could play pool. You missed that shot a mile.
I can't keep my mind on the game. Can't stop thinking about
it. Pipe down. Everything's okay, I tell you. I got the Shadow I couldn't have missed. You heard him fall, didn't you?
Yeah, but
nothing. We got nothing to worry about, I tell you. The Shadow's out of the way, and we got to fix with Dugan for an alibi. We've been here all evening. See? Here comes Dugan now.
Hey, Spike.
Marty, there's something going on around here I don't like. I know I told you I'd frame an alibi for you, but I don't want no trouble. I don't want my place closed up.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter with you? What's going on?
It's that bunch you've been working your new racket on. Apple Mary, Lame Bill, Limpy, the whole lot of them.
What? Where are they?
They're out in the street, 20 or 30 of them. And more coming every minute.
Yeah, who tipped them up when we was here? Is this a double cross, Dugan?
No, honest. Somebody must have tailed you here. Listen to him.
Hey, Spice, they're after it. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, maybe we better. They tear us to pieces and then they got their hands on it.
You guys better slip out that back door there. It leads into the alley. The crowd may be lame and blind, but I don't give much for your chances if they get hold of you.
Come on, Spike, let's go, will you?
Yeah, okay, let's scram. We'll get these muggies tomorrow, one by one. I'll teach them to try to gang up on us. Come on, Marty, come on.
First, Spike, wait. Look down the alley there.
Holy cat. Cops?
Yeah.
Half a dozen of them.
We can't go that way, Spike. They're laying for it. Hey, Dugan. Ain't there any other way out of this joint?
How about upstairs and over the roof?
No, that door to the hall has been nailed up for years. It's either the alley or the front way.
Hey, Spike. That bunch out front sound like they're coming in.
Yeah. We're caught like a couple of rats in a trap.
What are you going to do, Spike?
Shadow. Spike, did you hear that? It's a shadow. You didn't get him. He ain't dead.
No. No, you will not go to the electric chair for the murder of the shadow.
So you got away. Well, and the cops haven't got anything on us now. Come on, Marty, we'll go out to the alley. Let the cops pick us up. They can't hold us more than 24 hours.
Wait. You've forgotten the murder of Singing Jim.
Why, you can't pin that on us. But the door's locked.
Yeah, and the key's gone, Spike.
Yes, I locked that door, Spike. I have the key. But the front door is unlocked. You can walk out that door. Singing Jim's friends are out there waiting for you.
Spike, what are we going to do?
They're the lame and the halt and the blind, but there's strength in their numbers. The strength of a long-suffering fury that means your death. If they get their hands on you.
What do you want, Shadow? What's your game?
I want your confession to the murder of Singing Jim.
Hey. Yeah? If we confess, will you keep that mob away from
us? I'm not confessing to anything. I'm not writing myself a one-way ticket to the death house.
Take your choice. A chance before a legal jury or that mob. Quick.
Stop him! Stop him, Shadow! I'll confess. I'll tell you. Yeah, we killed Singer Jim. It was Spike. He slugged him in that alley, yeah.
You dirty squealer, Ed.
Don't move, Spike. One false move.
Wait a minute, they're
going to... These tormented people will kill you. Mary! Lame Bill! Wait, everybody! This is your last chance. There's a blackboard behind you, Spike. There's a piece of chalk. Write your confession to the murder of Singing Jim and sign it. Write what I dictate to you.
You win, Shadow.
We, Spike Grogan, and Marty Nelson...
We, Spike Grogan.
Confess.
Marty Nelson.
That on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock.
Confess. That on Tuesday
we
night.
We did willfully beat Singing Jim
we
to
did
death.
Willfully beat.
With a blackjack.
Singing Jim to death. With a blackjack.
Sign it. Now you, Marty.
Okay.
There. Now what, Shadow?
Walk to that back door. Open it. Call to the police in the alley. Tell them to come and get you.
Well, it's locked. You locked it and took the key.
I unlocked it again. Go with Spike Grogan, Marty. Beyond that door, a blindfolded woman with a sword in one hand and finely balanced scales in the other waits for you. You've mocked her long enough, but she is patient because her name is Justice, and her revenge for your mockery will be death.
apologies there. Kind of, it's been a while since I've been on the air, so kind of missing my cues. That was The Blind Beggar Dies, with an original air date of the 26th of June, 1938. Orson Welles was Lamont Cranston and The Shadow. I didn't get a chance to figure out who played Margot Lane, but I'm pretty certain it was not Agnes Moorehead, as she had in the first season as The Shadow, with Orson Welles played as Margot Lane. I think now I'm gonna fulfill an FCC obligation. It's Digital George's birthday. Not that that changes the fact that I'm going to play this PSA, but I just thought I would mention that so it's on the air.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule two, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule three, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. Okay. Next up here on the Grand Hour with Arthur, 91.5 FM, WMFO, and or WMFO.org, which is a fan favorite. And I only have three more episodes to play before I've fully played all of them on. Oh, actually two, because I think I skipped and jumped and played an end one. One of the latter ones like a year and a half ago. This is The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart. This one's titled Silver Threads. This has an original air date of the 3rd of June, 1954. I can say it was episode 37. I believe there's only 40 episodes of The Six Shooter. It just ran for a single season. A sustained show, having no real sponsor. Well, I think Dodge tried to creep in there a couple of times. I don't recollect. It's been a while since I played The Six Shooter, going back to November. But here you go. Thanks for listening.
Stewart as The Six Shooter. Tomorrow night here on NBC, there's a complete lineup of both music and laughter for you. On the musical side, there's the Dinah Shore Show, followed by Songs with Sinatra. For humor, the Bob Hope Show, followed by the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Then comes Can You Top This? And your nightly visit with Fibber McGee and Molly. A great Friday night lineup of programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both The Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett. the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
We'll be turning in here, Michael.
Huh?
As long as they're going into town anyway, we can be seeing whether there might be anything Homer Dunfield's needing.
Well, we got enough to do, Pa, just getting the things we need for ourselves.
Oh, now, what kind of a neighbor are you, Michael O'Hara? We'll turn in, I said.
Okay, okay.
That's one thing that you'll have to be learning. A man can't live by himself. And there's many a time Mr. Dunfield's done us a favor.
Yeah, sure, sure. Hold on.
Mr. Dunfield! It's Sean O'Hara, Mr. Dunfield.
I don't see no sign of him. Maybe he's gone into town himself.
Don't be in such a hurry now. The least we can do is... Mike, would you listen now?
Huh?
Them cows. There's something the matter with Mr. Dunfield's cows.
Reckon they're hungry, Paul. That's what it sounds like to me.
Ah, that's more than hunger that's troubling them animals. Come on, boy. Now, have a look.
Oh, now, Paul, wait.
Michael.
All right. Like as not, Mr. Danfield ain't going to appreciate us butting into his affairs. He's always been able to run this farm without
any... Look there, would you look? Aha. Yeah, they've not been milked, that's what it is. The sun's in the middle of the sky and they've not been milked.
Yeah.
I knew there was something wrong here. I felt it the minute we pulled up in the yard, so I did.
Maybe Mr. Danfield's sick. Maybe that's it, huh?
Well, sure, and I hope that's all it is. But when I get one of these foreboding feelings, well... Mr. Dunfield!
Well, try it, Pa. See if it's locked.
Oh, no, I don't know. It doesn't seem right to enter another man's house when he's not home.
That's for his own sake, ain't it? Here. If he ain't home, we'll leave him a note explaining the way... Pa.
Well, what is it, Mike?
Over there, across the room by the sofa.
Michael, that's Mr. Dunfield. Oh, he has been shot bad, real bad. But there's the spark of life left into him. Would you get the doctor, Michael, as fast as you can, and I'll stay here till you come back.
Yeah, sure, boss.
And the sheriff, too, the sheriff. You best bring the sheriff.
Yep.
That poor Mr. Dunfield.
I'd expected to reach Pearl City before nightfall, but it looked like I'd been a mite optimistic. The sky had already lost most of its color, and I still had a good 15 miles to go, so I slowed Scar down to a walk. Easy, boy, easy. Oh, that's it. I started looking around for a place to make camp. It didn't really much matter when I got to town. The spring roundups were sure to be over, and a day or two one way or the other wouldn't make any difference about my finding a summer job. And besides being out in the rain for another night, I'd probably get a lot more sleep than I would in any of those hotel beds. Well, about a mile further on, I spotted a little flicker of light behind a couple of gray-green boulders. And when I rode up closer, I heard somebody singing and playing a guitar. It looked like I wasn't the only one in the rains that night.
Oh, howdy.
Howdy. Wow, that sounds real pleasant. Mind if I use your fire for a spell?
You're more than welcome to it, mister. Climb down from your horse and make yourself at home.
Wow. Thanks very much.
I'm heating up some beans. Plenty for both of us.
Well, that's mighty considerate of you, but I've got some grub of my own here.
Well, there's no point in wasting it, is there? Like I said, I got more than enough here. That is, if you don't mind eating beans.
No, I reckon that's what I'm carrying, too. My name's Ponsett, Britt Ponsett.
Well, I'll be darned.
Huh?
I sure heard about you, Mr. Ponsett, and that gun of yours.
Yeah.
I'm Toby Yeager.
I'm pleased to meet you, Yeager.
Here, just let me get my guitar out of your way so you can sit down.
Oh, thanks. I hope I didn't interrupt your singing. That sounded real pretty.
It just sort of helps to pass the time, especially when I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
Care to try a tune, Mr. Ponson?
Oh, no. I'm I'm afraid I'm not much of a singer. You just go right ahead.
Well, ain't anybody going to hear us, except in a few coyotes, and they're not likely to be very critical. What do you say? Shall we give our vocal cords a little exercise while we're waiting for them beans to heat up?
Well, as I said...
Come on, I like that third verse. Oh, beat the drum slowly and play the fife lowly. Come on, Mr. Ponson.
Play the dead march as you carry me along.
Take me to the green valley where lay the sod o'er me. For I'm a young cowboy and know I done wrong.
George, sounds like we were mistaken about those coyotes. Did you hear?
This is one of their favorites.
Yeah, I guess so.
How about you providing some music now?
Oh, me?
No. Yeah, hit the guitar.
No. I'm sorry. I just don't play at all.
Oh, come on. You're joshing me, Ponset.
No. I'm afraid I don't know the first thing about it.
Well, most any cowboy can get a tune out of a guitar.
Maybe so. But it just seems like I never had much of an ear for music.
You don't need no ear. Here, come on. Let me show you.
Huh?
Now, you just watch my fingers.
Yeah.
You'll see there's nothing to it.
Well.
Yeah. That's simple enough, ain't it?
I'll tell
you what I'll do. I'll make the chords, and you do the strumming.
You
go ahead. Go ahead and strum. Yes, you're doing fine.
Oh.
That's just fine.
The strumming part's a little easier than the cording, though.
It's all easy once you get the hang of it. Now, give me your left hand.
How's that?
Your left hand. I'll put your fingers where they belong for the first chord. See now? Here, there. Okay, strum.
Well, let's see.
All right. Here's the next chord. See now. Here's the third one. There.
I'll be darned. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Of course it is. Now you do them yourself.
What?
Those three chords I just taught you.
Oh, you mean you do them all alone?
Yeah, sure.
No, this contraption just isn't for me.
Oh, you mustn't give up yet. A little more practice, you'd be a first-rate guitar player.
No, I was mighty flattering, Jaeger, but I think I'd better stick to my humming.
Well.
You go right ahead now. Play some more. That tune you were trying to teach me, that sound real pretty.
You mean this one?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that before, have I?
Oh, it's brand new. Folks back east are all singing it, but it ain't got this far west yet.
Oh, I see. Are you from the east?
No. Utah's my home. But I spent a couple of months in Chicago last winter. That's where I picked up this tune.
I see.
I sure didn't cotton to city life, Mr. Ponson. I headed back this way first chance I got. Been laying track for the Santa Fe.
That's so?
Line reaches Pearl City now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But they had to stop there for a spell on account of some legal ruckus about the right of way. So I took my pay, bought myself that mare over yonder, and moseyed on. I don't know what it is about this song. Once you hear it, it just sort of sticks with you.
Yeah, it does.
Silver Threads Among the Gold. That's the title. Darling, I am growing old. Silver threads among the gold shine upon my brow today. Life is fading fast away, but my darling, you will be always young and fair to me. Yes, my darling, you will be always young and fair to me.
Oh, that's real nice, Jaeger. Uh-oh.
some more verses. That's the only one I can remember. Do you care to join in?
No. I think I bothered the coyotes enough for one evening.
Well, it looks like them beans are getting hot. Suppose we can interrupt our concert until after supper. Probably sound better on a full stomach anyhow.
No, I don't know, Jaeger. In my case, I reckon it wouldn't make much difference. Well, we had our fill of beans, and then Jaeger picked up his guitar again. Did some more singing. What with the music and all, I felt kind of sleepy, so I spread out in my bedroll. And the last thing I remember is hearing that guitar as I dropped off. Next morning after we had breakfast, Jaeger headed on south and I swung north toward Pearl City. A couple hours later, I was riding past the farms just this side of town. I noticed a buggy and four or five horses pulled up in Homer Danfield's front yard. Homer had always lived alone ever since I could remember. He never had been much of a man for company either, so I turned off the road into the lane leading to the house. Sean O'Hara was sitting on the steps, whittling. And the size of the pile of shavings at his feet, figured he'd been doing it for quite a spell. Whoa, Scar, whoa. Oh, Sean?
Huh?
Hi, don't you remember me? Britt Ponsett.
Oh, why, for goodness sake, Mr. Ponsett. I never had no idea you was in these parts. Lordy, peace and may for you come.
What are you talking about, Sean?
Oh, it's a terrible thing that's happened to Homer Danfield.
What?
Him lying in there right now, hovering between life and death, so he is.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. He's pretty sick, huh?
He's been shot, Mr. Ponsett. A big hole right over his chest.
Is that so?
It was along about noontime yesterday when we found him, my son Michael and myself. Oh, the poor man.
Well, just what happened, Sean?
Well, now, if you ask me, it was a thief who done it. Sure, and from the looks of his house, somebody turned things every which way searching for valuables. And besides, anybody who knew Homer Danfield, anybody from around Pearl City, that is, they'd have no call to try to kill him. He was a well-liked man, Mr. Ponson.
Well, he sure was, yeah.
Uh-huh. And the doctor's staying with him almost 24 hours now. And Sheriff Gentry, too. But you know, the poor Homer has not breathed a conscious breath during the whole day and the night that followed. Yeah, and like as not, he'll never be able to tell us just exactly what...
Oh, hello, Sheriff.
Huh? Oh, howdy, Brett. Where'd you come from?
Oh, just passed through on the way to town. And Sean's been telling me about Homer.
Has there been any improvement, Sheriff?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it an improvement. He did come to for a couple of minutes.
Oh?
You don't say.
Yes, he told me what he could. But I'm afraid it won't do much good. The fellow broke in night before last, along about midnight. He was a stranger. Homer had never seen him before. I didn't get a very good look at him either.
Well, he was trying to rob Mr. Danfield. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's the way it was.
Uh-huh.
Homer heard him prowling around in the parlor and come downstairs. The fellow let fly with a slug, caught Homer right under the shoulder. He's lost a lot of blood. The doc thinks maybe one of his lungs is nicked, too.
Yeah, that sure is too bad.
Yeah. Well, not much I can do without a description, evidence.
Sure, Norman, couldn't he tell you anything at all about the man?
No. As far as Homer can recollect, he was medium height, medium build. That's about all. Except for the song he was singing.
The song?
Yeah. Homer didn't pass out right after he was shot. Not entirely. He remembers hearing the fellow searching around and humming and singing to himself while he was at it. Something about silver and gold and getting old. Homer ain't too clear in his own mind, and well, as far as I can tell, it's a song I never heard before. You ever hear it, Sean?
No, it don't sound familiar to me, Sheriff.
What about you, Britt?
I've heard it, Sheriff.
Huh?
At least I've heard something mighty similar. Mighty similar.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Our country was founded by men who had faith in God and who were willing to endure hardship and sacrifice for the sake of that faith. In these troubled times, there is need to support a way of life based on the enduring principles of religion, which knit the family together, make for good citizenship, and build the character of the children. The religious institutions in your community need your interest and support, So take an active part in religious affairs. Your pastor, rabbi, or priest will give you invaluable family counsel and aid if you're a newcomer to the community. To face the problems of the future, America must be morally strong. And that moral strength comes through worship and faith. Go to church this week and take someone with you. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, I told Sheriff Gentle about running into Toby Yeager and his guitar, about the tune Toby tried to teach me. Of course, that didn't prove that Yeager had anything to do with shooting Homer Danfield, even though it was a new song. Well, like Toby said, it was popular back east, and there might be other folks who knew it out west, too. But Yeager had been around Pearl City lately. He told me so himself. He was a medium-sized man and a stranger. So I gave the sheriff all the details I could remember.
Yeah. Well, it sure ain't much to go on, but it's something. I reckon we better get started. Tell you the truth, Britt. The doc don't figure Homer will last more than another day or two. And if we don't get this Yeager fella back before he... Well, you were saying that he sung a certain song. That ain't going to convict him of murder.
No, of course not.
Well, let's go.
Well, you don't need me, Sheriff.
I need somebody to pick up this fella's trail and point him out to me, don't I?
Well, I could tell you.
Oh, we're just wasting time, Britt. If we're going after this man, let's get started.
All right, Sheriff. All right. It took us a couple hours to ride back to the place where Yeager and I had camped for the night. When we'd split up, he said he was heading south, so the sheriff and I looked around for his trail that way. We didn't have too much trouble finding it. There was only one thing. He hadn't gone south, leastwise not for very long. As soon as he hit Little Creek, a mile or so from the camp, he turned west towards Saddle Mountain. We were able to make pretty good time the rest of the day, and that trail didn't look like he was in too much of a hurry, so I figured maybe we'd been gaining on him. We didn't stop for supper. We just kept right on going. And even after nightfall, there was enough moon so we could still make out his tracks. Well, about 9 o'clock, we were moving through the pass between Saddle Mountain and Porcupine Peak. We're getting pretty high up, too. Not very many trees, just a scrub pine every once in a while. Easy, Scrub. Whoa. Here. Hold up a minute, Sheriff.
Huh?
I thought I heard something. No, I guess I was wrong. Or maybe the wind's changed. Here. No. There it is again. You hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he must be up there. Right around that bend.
I think we better move in on foot.
Yeah, I rode up on him last night. He seemed tame enough.
Well, okay.
Hello, Yeager.
Why, Miss Ponsett, thought you was heading other way.
Yeah, I sort of changed my mind.
Come back for another guitar lesson, huh?
No, not exactly. Yeager, this is Cleet Gentle from Pearl City.
Howdy, Mr. Gentle.
Howdy. You two never met up before, Yeager, while you were working in Pearl City.
Huh? No, not that I recollect. Why?
Mr. Gentle's the sheriff there.
Sheriff?
That's right.
Well, I was only in town for a few days, and I was sort of on my good behavior. Leastwise, I never had no run-in with the law.
Yeah.
There's something I can do for you, gents?
Yeager, a fellow was shot the other day. Shot and robbed. Farmer just outside of town.
Oh?
He didn't recognize the man who did it. He remembers one thing about him, though. A song he was singing.
Well, I reckon I ain't the only man that gives out with a song once in a while, am I?
No, but this particular song, well, it's the one you played for me last night.
I played a lot of songs for you last night, Mr. Ponce.
Silver Threads Among the Gold, that was the name of it.
Well?
You said it was a new tune, as I recall. You picked it up back east.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, ain't you kind of jumping to conclusions, Mr. Ponce?
Nobody's accusing you of anything, Yeager.
Well, then just what is it you want?
I want you to come back to Pearl City with me. Let Homer Danfield take a good look at you and see if he can identify you.
Danfield?
Yeah, that's the man that was shot.
He's still alive, huh?
Do you think he was dead, Yeager?
Oh, I didn't think nothing about it one way or the other.
How much money you got with you?
$40, $50.
Mind showing it to me?
Money looks all the same, don't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Here. 20, 30, 40, 45, 48.
Well, that's what I said, about 50 bucks.
That's what Mr. Danfield had stolen from his china cabinet. About $50.
The money's mine. I was working for the Santa Fe. They just paid me off the other day.
You're wearing a gun, I see.
Well, so are you. So is Ponce.
I'll take it.
Sure.
All right, Yeager. Let's go.
You want to get started right now?
As soon as you're ready.
It'll take me a couple of minutes to get my pack together and my horse saddled.
Well, I'll give you a hand.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ponce. Yeah, here. Would you mind fastening this onto the back of my saddle? I sure wouldn't want to go off and leave my guitar behind.
Yeah, I'll take care of it for you. Well, we rode all night, the three of us. Nobody did much talking, but every once in a while, Yeager had let loose with some humming and some singing. And he sure didn't seem very worried about what had happened when he came face to face with Danfield. I couldn't make up my mind. Maybe it was just that he had a clear conscience, or maybe he was putting up a good front for our benefit. Anyway, along about 6 o'clock in the morning, we were riding past the O'Hara farm. That meant we were almost there. Danfield's place would be next. Sean O'Hara came running out of the barn carrying a pail of milk. When he saw us, he set the milk down and gave a holler.
Sheriff Jenkins, hold up a minute, Sheriff.
Oh, no. Oh, there.
Oh, Oscar.
Morning, Sean.
So you found the fella you were looking for, I take it?
Yeah, we found him.
Well, it's sure too bad you went to all this trouble.
What do you mean?
Poor Mr. Danfield. He is no longer with us. No. He passed away a little before midnight last night. God rest his soul.
Tell me, Sean, did he say anything more before he died?
No, Sheriff, not a word.
I see.
Looks like you won't have no more use for me, Sheriff. You ain't gonna prefer charges of murder just on account of a song I happen to sing to Ponce, are you?
Well, I guess he's right, Sheriff.
Yeah. All right, Yeager. Here's your money and your gun.
Thank you. Well, so long, gents. Come on, boy.
Yeager.
Yeah?
I don't know whether you had anything to do with this or not. I guess nobody will ever know for certain. Except you.
I guess that's so.
But you'll know it, Yeager. And if you did it all the rest of your life, you'll know it.
That all you wanted to tell me, Ponce?
That's all.
Well, so long.
What do you think, Britt? Did he do it?
Sheriff, I just don't know.
There's some coffee in the kitchen if you'd be liking a cup.
Thanks, Sean, but I'd better get in town.
Hey, well, how about you, Mr. Ponce?
I reckon I could use a cup of coffee.
Well, I'll be seeing you.
Take it easy.
Sure. Sorry you had that ride for nothing, Britt.
No, it's all right. I guess I brought it on myself. So long.
The kitchen's doors are on this way, Mr. Ponce. Yeah, it sure was a shame about Homer Dunphy.
Yeah, sure.
Here, morning, Pa.
Oh, now it's about time you got up, young man. You remember Mr. Ponce, don't you?
Sure. Hi, Britt.
Just fine, Mike.
Hey, what are you doing with Toby Yeager? Is he a friend of yours?
No, not exactly. You know him, Mike?
Oh, well, he was working over on the railroad. We met a couple of times. Played poker over at Red Philpott's place.
Now, Michael, I told you, you can't afford to be losing your money.
I never lost, Pa. Not when Toby was in the game. Why, he's got the worst luck any man I ever played with. Take the other night. Railroad paid him off, and he lost every cent of it.
What night was that, Mike? Was that the night Homer Danfield was shot?
Well, come to think of it, I guess it was.
I see. I think maybe I'll skip that coffee for the time being, Sean. Thanks anyway.
What is it now,
Ponson? Let you and me go into town, huh?
What for? Easy going, easy.
That $48 you're carrying, that isn't Santa Fe money.
What do you mean?
You lost your pay the other night in a poker game, all of it.
Oh?
Where'd you get the $48, Jaeger?
What might be kind of hard to explain, Ponson?
It sure would.
Looks like you was wrong, don't it?
Huh?
Well, you said if I was a fellow who shot him, nobody'd know it, except me.
You shot him, huh?
Sure.
Well, then I was wrong. Maybe we'd better go back to Pearl City, huh?
Sure.
Transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Ben Wright, Burt Holland, Will Wright, and Barney Phillips, who played Toby. The guitarist was Bob Bain. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters...
Yes. No gunfight to conclude that one. Old Brett always seems to figure out a way to not use that six-shooter. That was Silver Threads. Original air date, the 3rd of June, 1954. It's episode 37. I believe there's 40 in the first season of the first and only season of the six-shooter. I want to make a correction from the shadow that I played the first half of the program. Margot Stevenson played Margot Lane in the summer program, which was season 1B. This has been Arthur, listening to the Grand Hour this morning, here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Be back next week to continue playing radio dramas from the golden age of radio. Thanks.